to 1 Peter chapter 4. Last week was part one of a two-part message on spiritual gifts, and the title last week was Be Informed. Paul had told the church at Corinth that he would not have them be uninformed regarding spiritual gifts, and certainly our God would not have us be uninformed as well. So we looked at four truths about spiritual gifts through 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7, And we became informed that spiritual gifts are for believers, that there are a variety of gifts, but one triune God who facilitates. Third was a spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us. And number four was spiritual gifts are for the common good. And then we learned a couple other very easy but extremely important truths along the way. And I'm going to see if you were listening, so help me out here. How many of the activities, how many of the works and the ministries that God, does God empower? All of them. All of them. And speaking of believers in Christ, who has a spiritual gift? Everyone. Everyone. And who is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Each. To each is given. To each of the everyones is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So the logical question to follow then, and I hope this is the question that is on all of your minds, is how do I know what my gift is and how do I use it? And what we'll see today is that it boils down to two things: pursuing and desiring. Pursuing and desiring. And when I hear those two words, or I see those two words, it makes me think of priorities. That which we pursue and that which we desire will be at the top of our priority list, very high on it. Listen now, if you have faith in Christ, and you are a Holy Spirit-filled, born-again believer in Him, if you are a child of the Creator of the universe and known by Him, if you can say Jesus is Lord in the Holy Spirit, then following Jesus should be and must be your number one priority. We serve Him. We serve the same Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. And we are part of His body, part of the body of Christ. And as part of the body, He gifts us. And brothers and sisters, gifts are for the body. Gifts are for the maturing of Christians and the building up of the church. And if gifts are for the body, then we must be together as a body. This is church. Church is not this building. Church is the body of Christ. And we must be involved. If we are going to discover and use spiritual gifts that God has given to each one of us, if we are going to be a body of believers that is growing and maturing in Christ, and if we are to proclaim the gospel arm in arm together and fulfill the Great Commission, then we must be involved. It's really that simple. Involved in each other's lives, involved in the body of Christ, involved in church. If Jesus is really the number one priority in our lives and we are following Him, then being with each other will trump almost every other activity we have. If we want to discover and use our spiritual gifts, then being involved in the body must be among the highest, if not the highest, priority in our life as we follow our Lord. Because I'll tell you this, if you are following Jesus as He leads, if you are active and involved in the body of Christ, then every other priority in your life will fall into proper order. The title of part two of our message on spiritual gifts is Be Involved. Be Involved. Let's pray together. Father, You have gathered each one of us here today. for a reason. And Father, I do pray now as we look at your word, as your word is proclaimed and your spirit moves, that the words that are spoken, that are your words, Father, would sink deeply into us as your Holy Spirit illuminates the truth and seals them to our hearts. I do pray through this, Father, that we would become excited, Father, that we would seek to love you more through the gifting of your church. And Lord, I just pray that you would change us and mold us and conform us more into the image of your Son. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11 together. As I prayed over this message, God led me here to begin, because it kind of summarizes what we'll be chasing down today. So let's read this. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11. This is the word of God. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, what is it God is saying through Peter? What is it that was written 2,000 years ago that could have relevance to us now? Well, let's look at this. Beginning of verse 8. Above all. Above all. Let's hold up here. Above all. What does that mean? It means above all. It means above everything else. And this above all could be in the context of this passage, or it could be in the context of 1 Peter, or it could be in the context of the entire Bible. So let's figure this out. Look at the result in the second part of verse 11, and this should help us. Second part of verse 11. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What's above God being glorified through Jesus Christ? Nothing. Let's put this into proper perspective. Love and gifts are tied together. You can't have one without the other. Spiritual gifts are a gift of love and to be used in love. Just as everything God did for us was done out of love for us, so as God's children, everything we do is to be done out of love. Do we believe this? Do we do this? Keep your finger here and turn to John 13, 34. We all know the great commandment, right? To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. The commandment to love is what all of the laws and all of the prophets hang on. We all know that one. But do we remember the new commandment Jesus gave us? John 13, 34. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Move forward to chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus restates this. John 15, 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Listen now, as believers in Christ, we are to love each other as Christ loved us. And how much did Christ love us? All the way to death on the cross, he laid down his life for us. Self-denying, sacrificial love is the way we are to earnestly love one another. The title of this message is Be Involved. So let's not kid ourselves here. Let's be real. Be involved is much more than coming to church on Sundays and being nice to each other. Being involved is much more than being active in ministry and serving the body. It means being involved in people's lives, in the sacrificial love we have for each other in Christ. Because here's the perspective of what Peter is saying above all. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And within that loving, when we are loving Him, the number one priority in our lives, within loving God supremely, the number one priority in our lives, our God commands us to do, the number one priority we are to set above all else is that leads to glorifying God is to earnestly love one another. It's that simple. That is above everything else. So when God tells us, above all, to keep loving each other earnestly, we better listen. No, we better act. We better do. Flip back to 1 Peter 4. The question you may be asking is, why the emphasis on love? Because spiritual gifts and loving each other go hand in hand with each other. In every major passage on spiritual gifts, you will find love. Look at it here in 1 Peter. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since it covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then the gifts. As each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12:31. 1 Corinthians 12 is all about spiritual gifts. And we dug into some of that last week, and mostly we're in verses 1 through 7. But we are going to skip all the way down to verse 31. There is a lot going on in this chapter, and Lord willing, we will go through this in Sunday school. But here's the thing today. We will keep it easy, because I like easy. I'm a simpleton. That's why even though I don't use it much anymore, I like shampoo. Shampoo is easy. Lather, rinse, repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. That's something I can remember. And it's something I can do. Don't complicate spiritual gifts by getting into the debates. Don't fear spiritual gifts thinking that God will manifest in a way you are not comfortable with. Keep it simple. Keep it easy. Lather, rinse, repeat. Here's the first point, and we're still in it. Be involved. Point number one. Earnestly pursue love. Earnestly pursue love. Okay, there's a lot going on in the chapter with simple application that I think people tend to complicate. We just don't have time for them now. Come on Sunday morning, please. So let's see how important love is and how it's tied to spiritual gifts. Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire the gifts. Higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up to my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not ignorant, arrogant, or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Brothers and sisters, gifts are an excellent way to serve each other and glorify the body. But love, loving and pure, selfless, godly love is a more excellent way. If we want to be involved, if we want to follow our Lord and have Him set the priorities in our lives, if we want to discover and use our spiritual gifts that each of us has, then when God tells us above all to earnestly love each other, then that is the first thing that should be on our to-do list today. It should be the first thing on our to-do list tomorrow, and it should be the first thing on our to-do list forever. Forever should be the earnest pursuit of loving each other, loving God as Christ has loved us. It is that simple. It is that simple. But we need to press hard, hard, hard after this together to make it happen. Be involved. Number one, earnestly pursue love. And now the second simple truth to remember is earnestly desire gifts. Earnestly desire gifts. Look back at 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Earnestly desire the higher gifts. And then chapter 13, which is right after this, right after the more excellent way of loving, and we plow through that untimely chapter break and read in chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. If you want to be involved, earnestly pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I'm not smart enough to come up with something like that on my own. And at the same time, I'm not dumb enough to come up with something on my own. This is God's word. Keep it simple. God keeps it simple. God says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. If you want to discover your gift, then pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts. It's that simple, brothers and sisters. Lather, rinse, repeat. Desire is an important part of the equation. Why? Because desire is a huge motivator. Pursuing love and desiring the spiritual gifts go together. Because if we truly have the love of Christ in us, then our desire will be for everything we do to be for good of our brothers and sisters in Christ, which will result in the glory of God. If we love each other, then we will desire to do good for each other, right? If we are pursuing after loving each other, then we will intensely desire to build up each other and not tear each other down. And the major means that God uses to edify the body is through spiritual gifts. Pursuing godly, selfless love is to edify each other. So pursuing love will include desiring spiritual gifts to do it with. It has to be. There is no way we can love like this in the flesh. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. We are to love each other as Christ loved us. And he gave himself up for us. There is no way we can do this in the flesh. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Read that again. Look at that. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not abides in death. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes up his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And verse 18 is God's simple instruction how to earnestly pursue love. Verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Do you remember the first point from last week on spiritual gifts? It was spiritual gifts are for believers. If you have faith in Christ, then who indwells you? The Holy Spirit of God. This passage says, if we love the brothers, then we know we have passed from death to life. We are alive in Christ because his Spirit is in us. Listen now, the Holy Spirit brings with him the desire to love. He is the Spirit of love. What is your desire deep, deep down? If you are God's child, then it is to love. It is there. To love God and to love others. You may have to fight the flesh for it. Your heart may be hardened to it. It may be hard to see at times, but if the Spirit of God is in you, then you love the brothers. And if you earnestly pursue love, you will earnestly desire the gifts. Turn back to our passage in 1 Peter 4. If you want to know what your gift is, then be involved. Earnestly pursue love and earnestly pursue or desire your gifts. And the last one, use them. Number 3 is use them. Again, God makes it simple. Don't let me or anyone else complicate this. Use your gift. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Watch now. As each of the everyone's has received a gift, what should we do with it? Should we save it for later when we are mature Christians? Should we wait for the kids to go off to college when we have more time? Should we wait for our spouse to get on board with this whole Christian thing? Should we make sure other believers are using theirs first? No. God's word says, as each has received a gift, use it. Use it. God says, I have given you a gift, so use it. Use it for what? Use it to serve one another. It's back to love. Turn to Romans 12:4. Here we will see this simple instruction again, and it is really not an instruction. What we're really looking at is a command from our God to use our gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 10. For as in one body we have many, many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, through many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. It really doesn't get more basic than that. Watch now as Paul emphasizes the reality of if you have them, then use them. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, lead with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Use them. And use them for what they are intended. And watch now, as it always comes back to love. Verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Be involved. You have a gift. Use it. And then back to love. Genuine love. Love with brotherly affection. Affection. That's for those of us who think Christian love is duty only. Affection. When we are involved, we will love with affection as well as in truth and deeds. Another passage, turn to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. This is just the passage for us to look at because it stays right on point of our be involved theme. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Right away we see the gifts. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer children who are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And here's where I wanted to be. Verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Speaking the truth in love, that is application of being involved. Speaking the truth of love is good application. Loving enough to speak the truth in love to each other. That's a side point because that was point number one. We're in point number three, which is do it, use it. You have a spiritual gift, now use it. Look back at verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. When each part is working properly, that means you should be using it and using it properly. This is something that we've been trying to achieve here at Country Bible Church. Country Bible Church does not want to put round pegs in square holes. Country Bible Church does not want a foot doing what a hand should be doing. We strongly desire to be a body that is composed and arranged by God. To be a body with each and every member placed with their gift where they belong. A body that encourages and trains each other to use their gift. So that this will be the result, the end of verse 16. Makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I long, the leadership of your church longs to be a growing body that is building itself up in love. It's simple, brothers and sisters. We are to use our gifts, and the reason is for the building up of the church and the glory of Christ. I want you to see one more verse, and then we'll begin to conclude. This verse is where I want to be personally. And this verse is where I want every single one of you to be as well. That would be every one of you. Each of the every one of you's guys, youper Christians. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. I love this verse. May this verse be our goal as God's children together. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, try to excel in the building up of the church. Oh, to be eager for the manifestations of the Spirit of God. To so love each other, we cannot wait to gather together to be in God's presence. To get together and love on each other in words and deeds. To get together and experience the power and the presence of God through each other's gifts. To get together and to strive to excel in the building up of the church of Christ for his glory. This is what I pray for. This is the will of God for each of us. Keep it simple, brothers and sisters. Lather, rinse, repeat. Be involved. Earnestly pursue love. Earnestly desire the gifts. And then use them. And by the grace of God, repeat as often as necessary. One last instruction and we'll be done. In the instructions on the bottle of shampoo, and I don't know how many of you actually read that. I do. It says, lather, rinse, repeat. But there are ingredients involved there that aren't mentioned but assumed. Lather assumes water. And shampoo, rinse, assumes water. I don't want you to assume this command by God. I want you to be sure of it. I touched on it at the beginning. I want to end on it now. Turn to our scripture reading in Hebrews chapter 10. Be involved, brothers and sisters. Be involved. And remember and consider this. Getting together with each other must be a commitment, not a matter of convenience. Getting together and being with each other must be a commitment we make and not a convenience. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We must pursue love above all. Do not neglect meeting together. How many of us get together and it's simply on Sundays for a couple of hours? There are 168 hours in the week. Gathering for two is neglecting to meet together. How many of us get together but don't turn off our electronics? How many of us are so wrapped up in the world with possessions and hobbies that we don't have time to meet together? How many of us are too tired to meet together? We don't feel like it. How many of us only meet together when it's convenient? Be involved, brothers and sisters. Gathering, meeting together is essential to the body. It's kind of a catch-22. If we're not meeting together, then we are not involved. And if we are not involved, then we won't experience joy from serving. And if we're not experiencing joy from serving that we have in Christ, then we won't meet together. And if we won't meet together, we won't be involved. The way to break the cycle is by the grace of God and faith in Him. To be involved, brothers and sisters, requires that we meet together. That is why God says not to neglect it. When we are meeting together and we are involved, we will be earnestly pursuing love. When we're meeting together, we will be desiring the gifts. When we are meeting together, we will be using them and experiencing God together. And that's when our affections for each other will grow. And that's when our body will be built up in love. And that's when God will be glorified through Christ. Let's pray together. Father, you have given us simple instructions that I fear that we sometimes complicate. They're simple, but I know, Father, they can be hard. Hard to do. But that's where you come in. That's where you have loved us so much that you gave us Christ, and with our faith in Christ, now you have the Counselor and the Helper, the Holy Spirit in us to empower us to break our habits, our sinful habits. So, Father, I pray now with all that I am that you would move us by the power of your Holy Spirit to love you more, to love each other more, to gather together more, for the building up of your church and your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name.